Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on Hot 1027, and it is so good to be with you this morning. Today I'm going to be looking at Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. Obviously, Paul is the author of Ephesians, and we think he wrote it around 60 to 62 CE, which we call the Common Era, or AD for those of us who are old school, during the time that Paul was imprisoned in Rome. And we believe this is the time he wrote it because this was the time when he was only under house arrest. So he still had the ability to preach and to write, and his friends could visit him. This letter Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus in Asia Minor was what we call a circular letter because it was circulated to all the churches in the area, not just to one particular church. Ephesus was a fairly pagan city with a lot of idolatry, quite a rough city. But the church in Ephesus had a very strong foundation, and the reason for Paul's letter was to teach the people about their identity in Jesus and how to stand firm when surrounded by others of different beliefs. It is really about knowing your own identity and claiming it. On Thursday, I quoted Carl Jung when he said, "The world will ask you who you are, and if you don't know, the world is going to tell you." And I think that's true for us as Christians. If we don't know who we are in Jesus Christ, we don't understand our Christian identity and actually embrace it and live it out, the world is going to tell us something different. We're living in a world with very difficult things going on, with a whole lot of different things coming at us all the time, and we need to know who we are. Now, how do we know who we are in Jesus? The way for me is through Scripture, and we're going to look at some of what Paul wrote today because I think some of that affirms who we are in Jesus Christ. There is one lovely affirming verse in Ephesians 2, verse 10, where Paul says, We are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we are God's creation, created by Jesus for good works that have already been prepared for us. So there's two parts to that. We're created by God, but we also need to do good works. And I think that's really important to realize that we are created in Jesus for good works, walking in that faith. In other words, living it out. Paul begins his letter to this church in Ephesus by saying that long before God laid down the foundations of the earth, he had us in mind. And he goes on to say that God had chosen to love us and to make us holy and whole by his love. God decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. And lastly, God wants to lavishly gift us. I think that's a beautiful word, lavishly gift us. So what does it mean for you or for me to be adopted into God's family, to be adopted into God's kingdom? And for me, it takes me back to my childhood. My sister had this friend who was adopted, and in our circle, that was quite rare in this little place in which we were growing up. And I remember her coming round, and she said to my sister and I'm much more special than the two of you, because your parents just had you, but my parents chose me. Now, luckily, as a child, neither of us were offended by that. But I do know that it struck a deep chord within me in terms of my Christian walk. Because God chooses us. We're adopted into God's family. We're not just there. God has chosen to adopt us into God's family. And that, for me, is absolutely amazing. That this God who created this amazing universe that we're living in, who created this beautiful earth, created you and I and adopted us into God's family. What a privilege, what a joy to be adopted by God into the kingdom of God. And there's more. We're made holy and whole. Now, how are we made holy? I want to tell a story of a friend of mine who took a pen and a piece of paper, and she said to me, "You are the pen." She took the piece of paper and said, "This is Jesus Christ," and she wrapped the pen with the paper. And she said, "What does God see when God looks at you?" God sees Jesus, because Jesus is all around you. And of course, we know God can't look on sin. And she said, that is how we are accepted and adopted into the kingdom of God, because we are in Christ. And when God looks at us, God sees Jesus. And for me, that is how we're made holy, is through the work that Jesus did on the cross, his life, his death, and his resurrection. How are we made whole? I believe that God completes us and makes us whole and puts us back together again when we are broken. And for me, I always think then of the Japanese art of putting broken pieces back together with gold, broken pottery pieces back together with gold. And the finished product, they believe, is far more beautiful than the original. And I think that's what it's like when we walk with God. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God brings healing and heals all those cracks and broken pieces and puts us together into the most beautiful art form, the most beautiful being, as God creates us, as God heals us, if we allow God in. And so we are put together by God, just like those Japanese art form of putting broken pottery together. I want to look at the blessings in a moment, but first on the Mighty Hot 1027, praise my soul, the King of Heaven.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
Praise my soul, the King of Heaven on the Mighty Hot 1027. Good morning, this is Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church. It is so good to be with you. I've been looking at Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, a city that had a lot of idolatry and pagan worship, and he's writing to them to teach them their identity in Jesus Christ and how to walk in that identity so that they can stand firm no matter what is going on around them and no matter what comes against them. I've looked at how we are adopted into the family of God. God chooses to adopt us into the family of God. And I've looked at how we are made holy and whole by Jesus Christ. I now want to look at how Paul says that God wants to lavishly bless us. What do you think this means? What do I think this means? That God wants to bless us with gifts because we're adopted into God's family. When I think of this, I think about how much pleasure it gives me to buy gifts for those I love and also as a parent to buy gifts for my children. I think I found their birthdays more exciting than them because I would try and find something that they really, really wanted, and to see their faces and their joy when they unwrapped it was something that I will remember forever. So it makes sense to me that God also wants to give us wonderful gifts and bless us with gifts. But I do think that sometimes we don't recognize what those gifts are and we forget to be grateful for them. God gives us large gifts and small gifts and gifts of health and gifts, all sorts of gifts, and we don't always recognize them. I believe that because I was in pain for so long with my back, being pain-free physically is a massive gift. I am truly grateful to God that I can walk around pain-free. I never appreciated it until I had that surgery. Now I want to dance in shopping centres, but please note I don't do that. People would look at me strangely because I'm actually pain-free. I can remember leaning on that trolley and wishing with all my heart that I could be back in the car because it was so much pain to walk. So that is a gift, being pain-free. Walking and walking pain-free are both huge gifts. One of the most profound teachings for my children was when I was a youth pastor and we went to an informal settlement for a soccer match. One of the children there only had one leg and he only had one crutch, and he played soccer brilliantly. My children went to bed that night very, very differently. They couldn't stop talking about the fact that he could do this and that he was joyful and happy and he only had one crutch and yet he could play soccer. COVID, of course, I think taught us all to be grateful for sleep and breath, any one of us who had COVID. And there are so many other things that I could list here, and I'm sure you have your own. Things that we sometimes take for granted, but perhaps we shouldn't. I think sometimes when we take God's gifts for granted, it's because we're not really focusing on the blessings in each and every day, and we're not grateful for them, and we forget to give thanks. And so I'm teaching myself to look for the small blessings in each and every day. And when people come to me, I say, just look for one or two or three things that are good in this day. Write them down and give thanks to God. What I do learn from the beginning of Ephesians is that we are adopted by God in love in Jesus Christ and that we are blessed. God longs to lavish gifts on us and we are made whole and holy by God. We are truly blessed. Coming up now on the Mighty Hot 1027, to God be the glory, great things he has done.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
To God be the glory, great things he has done on the Mighty Hot 1027. Good morning, you're listening to Sunrise with Shona. And if you've just joined us, welcome. Today I'm looking at Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, where he stresses what their identity is in Christ. He's teaching them about their identity in Christ because they're living in a city that was filled with idolatry and pagans, and they are going to be tested. And he's also teaching them how they need to then walk in that faith. And so who they are adopted by God through Jesus. They are blessed. God longs to gift them lavishly. And they are made whole and holy by God. Now, I only have time to look at three more verses or three more scriptures from Ephesians. So I've already mentioned the one. I just want to look at it briefly again. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we who walk in them. So we need to actually walk in them. So God prepared the work beforehand, and we need to walk in them. For me, it means that while we are saved through our faith in Jesus Christ, we are then still called to move and do good works. So faith will lead us to do good works. I spoke last week about how, when we know who we are in Jesus Christ, we can bring about transformation through the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us. And I use that metaphor of throwing the stone into a pond and seeing the ripples spread out. And when we do things for good, for God, those ripples spread out all around us. But we can't just stop with being saved. We need to do good works as well. And so what that might mean for you, I'm not sure. But for me, it does mean reaching out to others, being there for them. So important. People really long to be heard, seen, and accepted. It also means caring for God's creation. I don't believe God ever intended for us to be dominant over the whole of creation. Instead, God asked us to be caretakers of God's beautiful creation. What can you do to be a blessing for others? We can give back. And I think the Telethon is a great way to do that. I know that that money is then used to reach out to others because I sit on the decision-making board that decides where that money should be spread out, who should receive it. We look at all these applications and we discern very deeply. There's a lot of work that goes into it. Who should benefit from it? And it is such a privilege to be able to make a difference in the lives of those around us. And that's the Telethon is the main fundraiser for HOT and for HOT Cares on that day. Now, what good works could you also do? I want to reiterate that we aren't saved by works, but we are saved by faith. But when we walk in faith, it moves us to do good works. And in James 2:26, we read, "For the body without the spirit is dead, and so faith without works is dead." We are called to move into action. So let us all look for a way to bless those around us today. In Ephesians 5:1-2, Paul says, "Be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself to us as an offering, a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling aroma. So walk in love as Christ also has loved us." What does it mean for us to be imitators of Christ? For me, I need to reach out the marginalized because that's what Jesus did. I need to reach out the suffering, the poor, and I need to do something to make their lives better. For me, it means bringing the kingdom of God into our everyday life. The last verse I want to look at is from Ephesians 6. And it's one that I use every day in prayer, and it's one that I need to pray before I even step out of bed in the morning. I pray it for myself and my loved ones, and it's about putting on the full armor of God. Why? Paul was teaching them how to protect themselves against what would come against them, and I believe it's just as important for you and I today. That's why I think we need to pray it every day. And Ephesians 6:11-12, Paul says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." In verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, what is this armor? We think of those Roman soldiers and how amazing they were. They had a belt, and we put on the belt of truth. In the Roman uniform, the belt held everything together. And so my prayer is, I put on the belt of truth that holds everything together. We put on the breastplate of righteousness, so when the Father looks at us, he sees Jesus. That's why we put on that breastplate of righteousness, and a breastplate protected the front of the soldier. So God looks at us, and he sees Jesus, and we fall under God's protection. The third item of armor are the shoes. We put on the shoes of the gospel, swift and ready to spread the good news. So we need to go out and spread that good news. We have a shield of faith that puts out every burning arrow sent us by the devil. So we need to remember that every burning arrow sent us by the evil one is put out by that shield of faith. We put on a helmet of salvation, and we wield the sword of the Spirit, which is a word of God, which is a powerful word. And so we need to know God's word to protect ourselves, as Jesus did in the desert. Remember, Jesus used scripture to protect himself. The one thing that worries me when I look at that whole armor is that there's nothing at our backs. And for me, that is why we can't be Christians alone. We need to be in community. We need to be praying for each other and protecting each other. And so I think today that's enough of Ephesians. I'm going to have to stop there. But I hope that you've enjoyed learning something about Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. I hope that you remember that you are adopted by God, that God longs to lavish gifts on you, that you are made whole and holy by God, and that we can put on that full armor of God, and then we can go out with those shoes swift and ready to spread the news, confident that we are protected in God as we go out and do good works. And so may God bless you and all those you love and pray for. Thank you so much for listening. If you need to get hold of me, you can do so on shona@hot1027.co.za. To wrap up this morning, hallelujah, and it's one of my absolute favorites. It's one of those that touches my soul. And how great is our God? And our God is indeed great. God bless.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.